A note to listeners, the following podcast contains content that may not be suitable for all audiences. Discretion is advised.
This is right up my alley. I mean, it's a combination of, you know, true crime, the psychology of serial killers, but then also it is certainly an entertainment experience as well. So we're going to package it up with multimedia. We're going to have interviews, short interviews with experts and friends of mine who I think will add something to the show that we're going to incorporate in it. And as you guys know, one of the things that I feel very strongly about is trying to, what I like to call, myth bust. I like to demystify burst myths about serial killers.
You are listening to Partners in True Crime. We are your hosts, Rob and Cindy Dorfman.
Welcome back to The Killing Hour with Doc Bond. Today we're taking a detour from our discussions with Doc Bond about serial killers to highlight an upcoming event that he will be hosting.
Doc Bond is embarking on a live show tour starting in May in selected cities that will focus on bringing all of his research and experiences surrounding serial killers and why people are captivated by them to a live audience.
So today, Doc Bond, along with TJ Daw, the producer of the live event, will reveal why they are doing the event and what it's going to take to create a true crime interactive live audience experience. Let's hear what they have to say.
All right, so today's an exciting day for The Killing Hour with Doc Bond. I know you've been hearing a lot of the ads that we've been placing at the end of the both of our podcasts about Doc Bond's exciting new live event that he's going to be showcasing coming up, it's May, is it start?
That's right, throughout May.
Okay, cool. So he's going to be doing a live event, and he's going to be basically doing a one-man show. And he's going to be touring a bunch of places around the country, and we're really excited to have the tour producer on with us, TJ Daw. Tell us a little about yourself, tell us about your company and what you do, and tell us a little bit about the exciting tour that you're planning for Doc Bond.
I would be happy to. So my name is TJ Daw, and I'm a writer and director and performer based out of Vancouver. And I have carved a career for myself over the last 25 years, finding ways to translate ideas and stories into something original on the stage. The producer of this show is called Right Angle Entertainment, and I'm a freelancer. I get hired for them for any number of gigs. So what Right Angle does is they specialize in that gray area of live shows that aren't plays and aren't concerts, but still are essentially live shows that tour performing arts centers, mostly in the U.S., sometimes internationally, and engage audiences directly. And Right Angle shows are always shows where the concept is what's bringing people in, and they're pretty clever about finding subjects that have an existing audience. And I don't know if you realize this, but the existing audience for true crime is pretty big. There's a lot of people who are interested in it, so hence this show.
That's awesome. Well, we're really excited about it. Scott's been talking about it with us a little bit for the past few weeks, and we were just curious on how you got the initial idea for the show, and why did you reach out to Scott to help create it?
So this idea originated with a similar show that's touring in the UK, and it was seen by a different producer who works for Right Angle, who saw it and saw just how enthusiastically the audiences were flocking to them, and then seeing the show, weren't that impressed with the actual delivery. So his thought was, what if we did a show about this topic, what was actually interesting? And it was really dynamic, and it wasn't dry and academic, even though it was coming from somebody who had the expertise and knowledge and background to be able to speak with authority on the subject of serial killers. So that was the genesis for this idea. Now, why Scott in particular? There was a number of years ago where this same company contracted me to adapt a serial killer's podcast. And the show never ended up reaching the stage, but in the development exploration phase of the project, I reached out to Scott, and we had an hour, 2 hour interview where I was just picking his brain about like what makes serial killers tick. And I really enjoyed that interview, and I really enjoyed just how well-spoken he was, as well as how knowledgeable and the direct experience he had interacting with different actual serial killers. So when it came time to find somebody for this show, it was a no-brainer to me. It was like, hey, I know a guy. And suggested that to the higher-ups at Right Angle, and they reached out to Scott and talked and liked how he talked, and how much he knew.
Scott, like, what was your thoughts when you first were approached by Right Angle and the tour producer? I mean, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And I have to admit, I was a little, you know, surprised when I got, you know, the first contact. And at first, they used the word host. So I thought that I was going to be sort of like Terry Crews on America's Got Talent and hosting a show that already existed or some kind of event that already existed. But I became quickly aware of the fact that, no, this was an opportunity to create something that doesn't currently exist. And, you know, what you very rarely in life are you given that opportunity to sort of create something along your own vision and based upon your own, you know, skill set, and working with a real pro like TJ, it was just an amazing opportunity. And, you know, as you know, and a lot of our audience know, I have kind of a unique background. I spent half of my career actually in the entertainment and television field, and then switched gears and became a criminologist. So this is right up my alley. I mean, it's a combination of, you know, true crime, the psychology of serial killers, but then also, it is certainly an entertainment experience as well.
That's awesome. So how do you think, I mean, you've been on panels. I've seen you on panels. You've done tons of interviews, television interviews for documentaries. And also, and just recently, I remember the one you just recently did for TMZ and a couple other news broadcasts. What's your goal for this show, for the psychology, and this is the title, The Psychology of Serial Killers and Why They Captivate Us? What are you going to bring to it, and what kind of expertise? Because I know you used to teach as well. So how do you wrap that all into a package for an entertaining evening for people who are really obsessed about true crime?
Well, great question. And that therein lies the excitement of this opportunity. And I have to say, I really pushed to have that word captivate us in the title of the show, because that's really what this is about. You know, this audience, like TJ said, we know that this is a passionate, very, very passionate audience. And as, you know, as Rob and Cindy, as you know, the audience is predominantly female. So we are developing something for an audience that we have a pretty good sense of what they're looking for, what interests them, and what will engage them. And so the opportunity now is to create just that. And what do I hope to do? Well, I hope to do some education along the way. But as TJ said, this is certainly not going to be a dry speech or lecture in any way. We're here to entertain. So we're going to package it up with multimedia. We're going to have interviews, short interviews with experts and friends of mine who I think will add something to the show that we're going to incorporate in it. And as you guys know, one of the things that I feel very strongly about is trying to, what I like to call, myth bust. I like to demystify and burst myths about serial killers. And there's so many of those myths out there. So I want to lead people to the reality of this, understand the complexity of it, the variety of serial killers. They're not one size fits all. Also, the rarity of serial killers. We have this tremendous fascination, but yet they're incredibly rare in the world. But do this in a very engaging and interesting way. In fact, if I can elicit an emotional response, emotional psychological response throughout the show, where I'm able to create some shock and awe among the audience, I'm able to get them to introspect and contemplate some of the important issues here, and also sympathize certainly with survivors and victims, and even create a little ironic humor, because let's face it, some of the things that these individuals, these serial killers do, it's so over the top that in some ways it becomes almost, you know, laughable in an ironic way. I hope to, you know, fully engage and provide an experience that will be really satisfying.
You talked about multimedia elements. What are you speaking of? What kind of things do you think you guys want to do?
What we're currently working on, and TJ and I are actually, you know, actively involved in creating all of this right now, there will be segments of existing interviews with individuals like Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, individuals who are no longer with us, where we're going to edit it down to just get some, you know, very, very compelling and shocking statements from these individuals, as I mentioned, I have a network of just fascinating people like Kevin Dutton, who has already been interviewed here on our podcast, who I'm asked questions, and they will provide little sound bites of information and little nuggets to just add flavor and interest to the show, and lots of still images as well. We're going to have when I refer to a given case or a given individual, we're going to have lots of visual images. So it will be really a multimedia experience.
Well, sounds so exciting. Go ahead. I'm sorry, TJ.
Yeah, another thing we'll have in there are some still images of Scott standing with David Berkowitz. He actually has interviewed some of these people in person, and this isn't just a wild claim that we're expecting the audience to take on faith. No, here's photo evidence.
That's right. I'm glad that TJ mentioned that. I did spend pretty much almost an entire day with David Berkowitz there at Sullivan Correctional Facility. And one of the crazy little anecdotes that I'm going to tell is I have this Polaroid photo that I think, Rob and Cindy, you have seen, where Berkowitz and I are standing with these smiles on our face in front of what looks like a beach scene. There's swaying palm trees in the background. Well, it turns out at Sullivan Correctional Facility, as a lovely parting gift, I was given the opportunity after my session with David Berkowitz to take a Polaroid in front of a mural, a hand-painted mural on the wall of a beach setting with David Berkowitz for the low price of $2. And so I left with my lovely parting gift of this Polaroid photo of the son of Sam and me on the beach together.
That's like your it almost looks like a vacation photo.
It absolutely does. It looks like I'm on vacation with the son of Sam.
Well, that kind of leads me to the next question, because it is such a intense subject matter. You're talking about serial killers, and you have obviously spoken to these killers face to face, and you have pictures of it. Are there any precautions that you need to take, or any kind of special considerations when dealing with this type of subject matter, doing a show like this?
Absolutely, without a doubt. And again, Rob and Cindy, we've talked about this quite a bit. We need to be sensitive to the survivors, to the victims of these individuals. And as I frequently will ask an audience when I'm given the opportunity, I'll say, who knows the name Ted Bundy? And all the hands go up. And then I'll say, okay, he killed at least 36 women, name one of them. And no one can do it. I have yet had anyone actually name a victim. So that is an indication that we do a much better job of putting the name of these individuals and their faces out there, but at the risk of really re-harming and re-victimizing the individuals themselves. So that said, what I don't want to do, and you see this all the time, all you have to do is go to serial killer websites, fan websites, and you see just gory, horrible photographs. We're not going to do that. Of course, given the subject matter, some of the images that we may show and the stories that I will tell and anecdotes will be shocking given the subject matter. It's hard not to be shocking when you're talking about these individuals. But certainly we do not, and I know TJ feels the same way, we're not looking for shock and gore and to, exploit, exploit this situation. So we have to, we have to take that into consideration. And TJ, would you like to add something to that?
Yeah, one of the things that we've already been talking about as we've been developing the material is that one of the myths that Scott busts is that serial killers are basically the devil incarnate, that they're monsters, they're wild maniacs, as they're often portrayed in the movie. Whereas many serial killers were actually completely normal-looking people who had very normal-looking lives. And to me, that is worth really showing of like, here, look at this absolutely normal looking person. They might not appear to us normal because we have preconception, because we know they went on to murder this many people in this particular grisly way. But just to show somebody as they are and just to say that could be anybody, that to me is actually a lot more chilling than gory photographs of crime scenes.
No, I agree. We deal with it a lot as television producers. Because there's, there's the true crime wave has been going on for a while now, and I think it's gone through a couple different incarnations, and there was a section of it where we, and we don't do these types of programs, but there was a what we call murder porn, And we, you know, we run from that, those types of subject matter and stuff, because we, like Scott said, it's very important that the victims are taken into consideration whenever you're highlighting these awful crimes, because that's an important thing to do. But just another question for both of you. I mean, is this going to be a highly scripted type presentation, or is it going to be more room for improvisation during when you're speaking, Scott? And then the other question I have for you, will you be involving the audiences as well, as far as taking questions from the audience?
I'm happy to jump in on that. It's going to be less tightly scripted. What we're doing is we're refining the outline, so we have a good sense of like what topics we want to cover in what order, and we're arranging which media clips we're going to show, whether it's an excerpt from, you know, a news program highlighting one of the stories, or an interview, or an interview with one of the experts Scott's connected to, or just a still image. So all of those are going to be loaded up and ready to go. But within that, we want Scott to have the freedom to speak extemporaneously, knowing what points he's going to cover, knowing that he has to cover them in a compact amount of time. There's just a lot of ground that we want to cover. But this is not going to be tightly scripted and memorized. So we don't want it to have the feel of a memorized lecture. We want this to seem spontaneous, real, and immediate. And in the second half of the show, we're going to take questions from the audience.
What is the collaboration going to be like with one another on this?
Yeah, we've already started that. So there's been a lot of just bouncing the ball back and forth of what topics do we want to cover, what details do we want to get to within each topic, which multimedia clips do we want, whether it's a news interview or an expert interview of somebody Scott's connected to, or a still image, or that kind of thing. So that's helping us create an elaborate outline, which is the skeleton of the show. And right now, we've mostly been focusing on what the multimedia elements were use are going to be, so we've been gathering those, and those are finding those, and our next step is going to be, okay, let's get on some Zooms and let's have Scott talk through these points, and let's see if we can refine that to the most interesting and good versions of an answer to each specific question that forms our outline as we can get.
Absolutely, and I feel at this point we have a pretty good skeleton, you know, in terms of all the multimedia elements, visuals and audio, etc. And in fact, this week, we're going to begin doing some Zoom rehearsals and sort of putting the flesh on the skeleton, if you will. And as often happens, because I love to talk about this stuff, I already know through timing myself that I have probably twice the amount of information that I'm actually going to need on stage. And so I'm going to really need TJ's help to trim that and get it down to the right time length. And of course, being the creator, being the father, so to speak, I love every element. I love every little nugget that I want to share. And I'm not particularly objective, so I'm going to need TJ to help me to actually fine tune it.
I'm going to be the one that helps Scott kill his darlings.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be tough because... That's going to be tough because we've spent like the past couple months just talking to Scott, and you know, we've got like 7 hours of podcast. I mean, in 90 minutes, it's definitely going to take some editing.
Yeah, and that's a good position for us to be in as creators of the show, because, you know, as anybody who's a fan of true crime knows, there's a lot of information on the subject. I mean, that's why there's such an industry, especially right now, that the well doesn't seem to be going dry. So our job is to kind of focus on specifically which points help extrapolate the premise of the show, which is captured in the title, the psychology of serial killers and why they captivate us. What are the points that are most essential to that? And then, given that this is a touring show and that I'm touring with the show, you know, this isn't, my involvement in the show doesn't end when Scott hits the stage at the beginning of the tour. I'm there for the entire tour. So there's going to be a lot of conversations happening while we're driving to the next city or before or after the show of like, what went really well last night? What can we do better as we really shape this thing into the best version of itself that we can have. It is painful, as I know all too well from working on different projects, to kill one's darlings. And then afterwards, once you've done it and the show is shorter but better, it feels incredible. And that's the whole reason for taking the show on the road, as far as I'm concerned. You learn so much from live audiences. You learn what works the best. And there's just no substitute for the authentic responses of a live audience.
TJ's tremendous experience in this area. I mean, I just feel really gifted to have someone helping me to shape this. And he knows, I mean, because he's done so much of, or so many of these types of events, he knows what works for the live audience, and you know, where to cut back. And because I love to talk about this stuff. And as you know, we all know, you can say something in 60 seconds or you can say it more succinctly, the exact same thing in 30 seconds. So I have to do my best here as possible, because again, when you love the subject matter and you're so enamored with it, you want to just go on and on and on. But I have to be, you know, I have to be succinct, and I totally rely on TJ to keep a leash on me where necessary.
Okay. So speaking about the whole process of this, are you going to be rehearsing this to perfection in advance, or is this going to be more of like an improv, or how do you see this playing out?
We're going to have a really elaborate outline, and we're going to have all the cues loaded up in the computer and we're ready to go. And we're going to do as much work as we can before we get an audience to get the best version of what we have, understanding that once we do get an audience, much less 15 audiences, the thing will evolve, because that's just what happens. But that's not an excuse for us not to do our work. So we're going to put all the time and effort and blood, sweat, and tears that we can into crafting this thing. We don't want it to be tightly scripted in that, you know, we're not going to script out, this is exactly what Scott's going to say. I want it to have the feeling of spontaneity, of extemporaneous speech, like the audience is, say, meeting somebody in person and involved in just a really vivid, interesting conversation with somebody who really knows their stuff and can back it up. And that also just helps us have the flexibility to change it as needed. It's a lot easier to change a 5-minute answer to a 2-minute answer if the thing wasn't scripted in the first place.
And one of the things that we didn't mention, but TJ and I feel very strongly about, is there needs to be an interactive element here too. And we want some questions and answers. So one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to pass around a bowl, you know, or a basket at halftime during the intermission, and allow people to write questions. And then in the second half of the show, I will draw from the questions and respond to them. So every night there's going to be different questions. So there will be a different experience depending upon who the audience is. So that I'm excited about that too. And what I've learned from more than 10, 12 years in the classroom is that anytime you mention the word serial killer, it's like there's an electrical jolt in the seat of the chair that people are sitting in. My students would practically jump out of their chairs whenever I mentioned serial killers. They would get so excited and their hands would fly up with questions. I'm sure there will be no shortage of interest in that regard. And what I might also do, because I had success with this in the classroom as well, is as I'm providing information or explaining a phenomenon, I might just spontaneously throw a question out to the audience and to get their, you know, elicit their response. And people love to do that too, you know, shout out an answer to the question. So I really do want to make it interactive. I want to make it exciting and dynamic for all parties involved.
Hey, Scott, the other thing I was interested about is because you get called a lot in the moment when current murders happen, like the one, the Idaho killings and a lot of other stuff. I mean, are you going to incorporate any of that? Because I know you have such a history of the classic serial killers that we've been talking about on our podcast, like BTK and Son of Sam. Are you going to be incorporating and paralleling any of the stuff that's happening currently that kind of gives people some information on where they think these crimes have gone? Because I know they've talked about it, and even Kerry Rawson has been interviewed about the Idaho murders as well, and seeing if there's any parallels there as well.
Yeah, well, great question. And so the answer to that, I believe, is going to be spontaneity will rule the day. And yes, Brian Koberger, you're talking about, you know, who's alleged to have and been charged with the 4 murders in Idaho. There are profound parallels there, interesting parallels between he and BTK. And I do, in fact, think that Koberger, although these 4 murders, to the extent that he did them, if he is convicted, it constitutes a mass murder, not serial killing. But I think given his evolution, given his background, what we know about him psychologically, what seemed to be motivating him, I think that he was a fledgling serial killer. And if he had not been caught, he probably would have gone on to kill, much like BTK, who, as we know, started out as a mass murderer before he became a serial killer. So yes, the answer is I will play it by ear, depending upon questions from the audience or where it seems appropriate to incorporate a contemporary case or an ongoing investigation, I will definitely include it in the show.
Okay, great. Are there any advantages to doing a live event night after night in this type of show?
Yes, absolutely. Many advantages. One is that, for one thing, this is a compact tour. This is, I believe, 15 dates over the course of about 18 nights. So that's a lot of kicks of the can. And I can say this as somebody who's been doing this work for quite a while, sometimes as a performer as well as working with performers, is there's no teacher like a live audience. You really discover a lot as you do the show a number of times that you just can't discover in the rehearsal hall or when you're sitting at your desk devising it or writing it or outlining it. There's a lot of just spontaneous pearls that will just come to you when you're in the moment on a particularly good night that will come out of you and kind of surprise you as much as they surprise the audience. And there'll be some inner voice that says, hey, that was good. I didn't even know I knew that. Or I didn't have that turn of phrase just cocked and ready to go, but it just came out and it was brilliant. And one of the advantages of doing it with the co-creator being with you is that you can talk about those things afterwards. Okay, remember that. That was a good phrase. That was a good answer to that. That was really good. There's also going to be a lot that we're going to learn from the audience questions. You know, I'm sure we're going to see patterns in what they ask us, and we're going to spot things that they're interested in that hadn't occurred to us to include in it. So when there's patterns in the questions people ask, that's really going to tell us something about what people are most interested in as well as what lands the most. And then there's also just that assessment that can't not happen, both from the stage and, you know, from my point of view, I'm going to be in the booth, of what are the moments where you can just feel people's heartbeats sync up, where you can feel that silence in the room as a point just lands perfectly with people. And does that just happen once, or does that happen night after night? Or is there something that we do in terms of like rearranging the order that makes all the difference in the world? Is there some conversation we have with an audience member or with a presenter who sees the show after, you know, from the venue and just on our way up, they'll say, oh, I particularly like the such and such, but how about this? So that kind of thing. Sometimes those things wind up in the show. You never know. But the only way to find these things out is to do the show as many times as you can.
That's great. So absolutely. You're basically saying that there's going to be an evolutionary process with this show. So like show one and then the last show could evolve into something completely different. Is that what you're trying to say? Based upon what you're learning exactly. What the audience is listening to and reacting to?
A lot like how a serial killer will refine their method, you know, as they do it, you know. Stage performers want to kill as well. So, you know, the more we do it, the more deadly we become our material.
Nice turn of phrase there, TJ. I have not had the theatrical experience that TJ has had, but I did have more than 12 years of experience in the classroom. And so I can also attest to you refine based upon your audience as things I would see just didn't play well with my students, or it seemed to confuse them or just didn't go over appropriately. I would refine my lectures. I would refine my presentations in the classroom accordingly. So it's up to me and also to TJ to be very attuned to the reactions of the audience so that we'll be able to make those kinds of revisions and improve the show as the tour continues.
TJ, I understand that it's a 15 market tour, starts in May, is a test. What are the overall rollout plans after the test?
Well, the 15 city tour is going to start in the Northeast. We're going to do a number of dates there. We're going to fly to the Midwest, number of dates there, and then eventually make our way to Texas and tour and there. So we're going to get a good cross section of how the show, well, first of all, just a good chunk of time to refine the show and really get it into the shape that we want, as well as to see how it plays in different markets. And this really is a proof of concept for the producers that there is a plan to shop it around more and see if we can get a fall tour and a winter tour. And in a perfect world, this thing would tour for a very long time in a lot of places, because as we've said, the audience for this is strong and passionate. There are many people who are interested in this. And I'll bet you anything, as we've said before, because we have more material than we can fit in compact 90 minutes, there might be a second show if the market's looking for it, which I sense they will be. I think there's a lot more to say on this show than can be said in one show. And I think the audience would come back if they'd had a good time the first time.
I think you picked the perfect time. I mean, after being locked down for 3 years with COVID and people not being able to go anywhere, we're seeing a lot of people wanting to get out. and wanting to explore and be entertained and learn. So I think you couldn't have picked a better time for this rollout. And also with true crime, I mean, you have the crime cons that are very popular. I think it's a perfect timing for something like this.
It's also, I've been thinking about this a lot. I didn't really share this with TJ yet, but this is an interesting communal experience. And in other words, it's going to be an audience made up, again, predominantly women who are just absolutely fascinated by true crime generally and serial killers specifically. And I have had any number of true crime fans, again, mostly women, come up to me and say, you know, Scott, I love this stuff, but I don't necessarily tell everyone. It's kind of like eating a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. I do it, but I don't necessarily want to tell everyone about it. Well, guess what? If you come to this show, we can all sit and enjoy our pint of Häagen-Dazs together, because birds of a feather flock together, and we're all there for the same reason, because we're interested in serial killers, their psychology, and why they captivate us. So it's really going to be, I believe, a wonderful communal group experience for everybody.
Yeah, just to add to that, there is something wonderful that happens when people are in a room together. And as you said, we've largely been prevented from doing that over the past few years. There's a particularly nice thing that happens when people are coming together with the kind of expectation that Scott described, which is like, this is my guilty pleasure. I might talk about this in secret or think about it on my own, or maybe I'm a little too into this, and does this mean that I'm a disturbed person or something like that? There's a tremendous validation that happens when you're a room full of 1,000 other people who are also into the same thing. And part of what captivates us by serial killers, this is one of the topics we're going to discuss in the show. And one of the things that has always fascinated me is why this topic is so overwhelmingly interesting to women, given that women are often victims of serial killers, is what we hope is there's going to be a tremendous validation for anybody who comes to see the show live, to sit in a room full of other true crime fans. The implicit message is, hey, you are not crazy for being interested in this. You are not crazy for being fascinated by something so dark and so disturbing. A lot of other people are right on board with this. It's okay to be interested in this. It's okay to want to understand this thing. It doesn't make you a criminal yourself or a psychopath yourself. It makes you a very interested, curious, concerned person who, in theory, is working towards upping their own game in terms of safety and understanding more and doing whatever we can do as a society to create a society where this kind of thing happens less.
Absolutely. And one of the things I'm going to talk about is the actual value of true crime programming, because it does serve an educational purpose. I've had women tell me this as well, that one of the reasons that they love the shows on HLN and ID and Oxygen and also the OG shows like 48 Hours and 2020 is that it's educational. They learn how not to become victims. These are, you know, are really useful educational tools. And we're going to talk about that as well, because we all want to feel safe. We all want to feel like we are, you know, not at risk. And that is part of the goal and part of the purpose of this. The more we understand serial killers, the less likely we are to become a victim, which, by the way, is the reason I believe that serial killers are way down in number since the 1970s and their heyday in the 1980s. Part of it is the educational factor. People are more vigilant these days. They're less likely to hitchhike. They're less likely to put themselves in situations where they are at risk. And I think we can thank true crime programming for providing some of this educational value.
So, Scott, how do you think this show is going to fit into your overall plan that you hope to accomplish as a criminologist?
Great question, Cindy. I'm so glad you asked that. For me, it's a real gift. I rarely, and we talked about this a little earlier, have an opportunity to actually get immediate feedback on my concepts, on my perceptions, my insights. Here I'm going to have an opportunity night after night to actually get real-time feedback. And as a researcher, as someone who studies and you know is actively engaged in this as a career, that's very important, because I will learn what the needs of the audience are, what their expectations are, how I can help fulfill their needs and expectations. And I am not, by any stretch of the imagination, someone who attempts or wants to simply shock and provide gory content. There are places for that. If you're into all that, there are definitely places to find it. What I really seek to do is to try to educate in a entertaining way, demystify, debunk the myths once again, and present reality. And the more that I can do that, the more that I can present reality as it is, and hopefully provide some advice and suggestions on how to stay safe and how to identify and apprehend these individuals, then I'll feel like I am doing the right thing with my career.
Well, this is awesome. I mean, I can't wait till you do a couple tour dates, and then we can have you back on the podcast and find out some of the crazy questions you're getting asked by the audience, because I'm sure they're going to be coming from all different angles, as we know, because they're so interested in this stuff.
It sounds so exciting. We're very excited for you, Scott. It's going to be wonderful. We look forward to it. We'll have to go to a show when you guys are in California at some point. And thank you so much, TJ, for coming on the show today.
You're very welcome. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. And then we'll be posting your dates on our podcast and the website as well. And we always do that at the end of both of our podcasts. So the website. So we're cheering for you, Scott. I'm sure you're going to kill it, as TJ says, and we look forward to hearing about all the great responses you're going to get about with this tour.
Thank you so much.
Next time on Partners in True Crime.
Out of the mist and out of the darkness comes this specter of Son of Sam, who just loomed as a demon in New York City at that time, and he literally held New York City, the greatest city in the world, 8 million people, in a death grip for an entire year.
We have an exciting announcement for all of our listeners. Doc Bond is taking his serial killer expertise on the road this spring in a live theater event.
To purchase tickets to Doc Bond's show, The Psychology of Serial Killers and Why They Captivate Us, go to www.psychologyofserialkillers.com. That's www.psychologyofserialkillers.com. Go see Doc Bond and get the real story on what goes on in these notorious killers' minds.
All rights reserved. This has been a production of 722 Media Content.